subject about God's government. Because what we don't comprehend, what we don't understand today is the governments that are on the earth are not God's governments. They are man's governments. They were thought up by man. We've come tried to do things as close to God as we possibly can. The closest we can get to is legalism, okay? And that is where the children of Israel were at in the very beginning, when they had prophets and judges ruling over them. They had the law. They had legalism. And what legalism does is says, you don't do this because, right? I don't speed because I'll get a ticket. And so the children of Israel don't do this because God's going to spank you. What we need to understand is even that was not God's perfect government. The reason that government had to come about was because man rejected God in the garden. God's government has always been and will always be love. Cut and dry. It will always be love. And love is ruled by grace. Okay? Whereas legalism, law is ruled by consequences. Now, I'm not saying that we keep doing things and things aren't going to happen. First off, we live in a world that is the very nature of our earth, is it not? Sowing and reaping. But with law, with love, God's grace kicks in. And today there are people running around, and I'm still not for certain what I understand part of what they're talking about, a heretical grace that says you don't have to change. Well, if you don't have to change, what was the point in getting saved? I'm sorry. If I didn't have to start doing something to be an athlete, I'd be an athlete again. But I'm going to have to start exercising. And according to my pants this morning, I got to start exercising. But law says, all right, I'm not going to condemn you for this infraction, but you have to stop it. See, so many people, first off, people in the world think that they've got to get straightened up before they come to church. Well, let me tell you right now, there's none of us in here perfect, right? If you're perfect, please step out of the aisle and go out because you're messing up the vibe. We're imperfect. We're all imperfect. God is not about us being perfect. He knows we're imperfect. He knows we're going to make mistakes. He knows that when we smash our thumbs, most of the time the words that come out of our mouth are not, bless you, Lord God Almighty. You have to train yourself to do that because your flesh wants to scream out. I ran a splinter. I'm a big old splinter in my hand the other day. I just looked at it and I thought, what on earth did you do that for, dummy? And, you know, pulled it out and went my way, and it got really sore yesterday. But we try to justify things by living a legalistic life. So when, let me get back to the heretical grace. So what people are doing is they're throwing grace under the bus. We don't want grace. We don't want God's grace. We want law. We need law. We love law. We really do, folks. We love laws. There should be a law against this. There should be a law against that. There is. It's called love. And it is ruled by one thing that God said. And he actually said this in the Old Testament, but Jesus had to bring it back up again. Do unto others as you would have done unto you. Not do unto others as they've done unto you. Not do unto others before they do to you. Okay, I know people that live by both of those. Strike first, repent later. No. You got to live by love all the time. And love says, I want to do unto others as I want them to do unto me. Regardless of whether or not they think I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. It doesn't matter if they like me. I've got to do what's right. It's called integrity. It's something that is missing in the world today. There is very little integrity. People say one thing and they do an entirely different other. All you got to do is watch the news. People said one thing and they went and did a totally different thing. Governments all trust me. By the way, if you trust a government, I pray for you. I was a government employee. You do not trust the government. Besides that, we're supposed to be telling the government what's what in this country. But that's a whole nother, I was going to say soapbox, but I think that would be just a whole nother pig wallow. We're going to get messy in that one. But today, we're talking about love versus the isms. Governments of the world, okay? Now, love is the affection towards others or things. That's boiled down base, as low as you can take it. Love is the affection you exert towards something or someone, to and include God. That's what love is. Now, there's a love that says, I love you, but I'm leaving you. That's not love. That was conditional. Unconditional love says, I'm not leaving. If the other person says, well, I don't want any part of it, I don't know what all you're going to be able to do, but let's focus back in on what unconditional love is. You hurt me. You said this. You did this. But I forgive. Now, let me help you out right there. When you say you forgive, do it. Forgive. You've got to forgive, because if you don't, you keep bringing it back to them. And you know what? Every time you bring that back up, yeah, it may still hurt. I think, you know, and, you know, we used to do this all the time. And I'd say, I thought you forgave me of that. I thought I did too. Well, quit beating me with it. Because all you're doing is making me angry, and I'm about ready to say, that's it. Game's over. And finally, we got to a point we just said, that's it. No more games. We forgive. We still get our little feelings hurt from time to time. Anybody that doesn't, you're not a human being. You're a robot. Everybody gets their feelings hurt. I don't care how big, bad, and tough you think you are. Your feelings get hurt. And what we do is we hide them. And we keep burying them deep. And we eventually disassociate ourselves from everybody. Because we don't want to get hurt, do we? We don't like getting hurt. And we shouldn't like getting hurt. But we should get to a point where we're tough enough to say, you know what? I care more about what God thinks of me. I care more about what my wife thinks of me. What my sons think of me, then I care about what this liar is saying about me. Because unless it's the truth, why worry about it, right? And if it's the truth, you've got a problem. Go fix it. Go to that person. Oh, no, we don't want to do that. My pride's at stake. I think he just found it. 1 John 4:8 says that God is love. You don't have to turn there because I'm going to fly through some things. But get ready because I might tell you to go to one. John told us, he said, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and God is love. He is the very embodiment of love. Well, I want to see God face to face. Tell you what, when you start loving people, you'll start seeing God. When you truly start loving people, and I'm not talking about your family, although some of you may have some family that might be difficult to love, but when you really start loving other people, not just those who can do good for you, Jesus said, what kind of love is that really? Even the world knows to love like that. You will start to see the embodiment of love. John also wrote in chapter 4 that love has no fear. Love casts out all fear because love has no fear in it. Angela and I were talking about something the other day. We learned that one of our sons, our youngest, had watched, was it a movie? It was a game. He had played a video game that involved scary creatures. He's 10. And he was starting to develop an issue about going to bed by himself. And I told her, you know, and I've shared with you before that I developed a fear of the dark from watching Salem's Lot, vampires. And it wasn't the scary one at the end. It was the little boy. The one that was more realistic to me. I knew the thing in the pointy ears and the weird eyes and all that was fake. It was the little boy that got me. And so, you know, I've told her, I said, you know, I've noticed, I said, once since I've grown in love, none of that bothers me. Now, I don't just go out willy-nilly and watch movies. Listen, I don't want to be filling up on fear. Now, I watch every combat movie I can. Oh, Pastor, that's fear. For you, it is. For me, it's not. So don't watch it. Be careful if you're watching all these other movies that are based in the occult and they deal with fear. I personally never understood Freddy's Nightmare. It was like Groundhog Day to me. It's like, just shoot me now in the first 10 minutes, I'm done. But anyhow, he started developing this, and I told her, I said, I know, you know, in us, I've grown, but it's not because I've grown up. I've grown in love. I'll admit, I watched one the other night. 2 o'clock in the morning, I couldn't sleep. I turned on TV and Blade 2 was on. I thought, we'll watch Wesley Snipes kill vampires. I actually learned a little something I'll share later. But in all that, I had no fear, no nightmare, because love casts out fear. You know, you've always heard the song that there's places where heard the saying that there's places where angels fear to tread. They always talk about the evil and how evil it is, and angels fear to tread there. Do you realize the one of the most evil places on earth in the time of Abraham was Sodom and Gomorrah, and angels walked right downtown? They were not afraid of the evil. Love cast out fear. They were walking in love. They wanted to find righteous people, 10 righteous people. I think they've estimated that there was maybe about 50,000 people total in that area that was destroyed. Out of 50,000, they could not find 10. So when you stop and you think about that for just 1 minute, they went on a mission of love to try to redeem people, to try to keep people from being destroyed. And the people rose up in evil towards them. And they weren't afraid. Why do we live in fear? Because we do not walk in complete love. And it's growth. You've got to grow in it. You can't just say, I love everybody today. You know, I love the big bad bully who's going to beat my face in tomorrow. Listen, by the way, I ain't telling you to sit there and take the beating. I will state this. There's only one way to deal with a bully. Stand up. I took a couple punches, but the others, I had one in particular. He used to beat the socks off of me. I had a cast up to here, down Freshman Hall at Highland, and if anybody knows where, it was a dark hall. Why you put the little guys down this dark hall is beyond me, back by the boys' locker rooms. And this guy, he'd been shaving since sixth grade, and I mean a full beard. He was already 18 when we were freshmen. And his locker's right beside mine, and one day I'm standing there, got crutches underneath this leg, and trying to get my books in this stupid locker that's this wide, and shoving that in there, and he comes up and just, pow! I mean, his arms were bigger than my calves. And that was it. I had nothing else to lose. And I went psycho on him. Do you know I was able to take him to youth group later? We didn't have to fight. He just wanted to see if I was going to stand up. I later found out his dad beat him like that too. So keep that in mind. Well, we'll just go beat him senseless. No, sometimes you don't have to beat him. Sometimes you got to stand up. Bullies don't like people that stand up. Okay, where did I lay him down at? I can't get far enough away. All right, you'd think these were made of slinkies. Love suffers long and is patient. This is God. Keep this in mind. When it says God, you can substitute love. And when it says love, you can substitute God. Because God is love. And love is God. Love suffers long and is impatient. Love is not envious. Love does not parade itself. Love never fails. God never fails. Ever. And what he purposes to do, he completes, and he gets it done. He's not envious. He has nothing to be envious of. So if we fill our hearts full of love towards other people, why are we envious of what they've got? Well, Pastor, you know, they got a better car, they got a better house, they got a better marriage. Work on yours. Quit being envious about theirs. And work on yours. Our marriage hasn't been Shangri-La. Anybody's has? Okay, I didn't think. I was going to say, you're living a fantasy. You take two people with two mindsets. You take the oldest child with the baby child. And guess what you get? You get the perfect storm. You got two people trying to now cohabitate as one. I like this. I don't like that. We still have one argument. Well, we have little ones, but it's a towel. I don't want it on the handle of the drawer. I want it under the sink. My reason is because every time you pull the open the cabinet, you got to take the towel out of it. And you chew the paint off. But anyhow. See? So you know what we did? She keeps putting it there. I keep taking it out, laying it on the counter. And we've just chose not to argue about it. That's all there is to it. If it's in my way, I take it out and throw it on the counter. Done. She can pick it up off the counter. Love suffers long and is patient. This is God's kingdom we're talking about. He rules with love. He suffers long and he's patient with. Why do you think we're still here? He wants as many as can be to be saved. Is there he's got so many souls? I don't know what the deal is. There are some things about God that I know right now, just like jet.com commercial, blows my mind to think of one, how vast he is, how awesome he is. And yet he still loves us, and he's patient, and he suffers long with us. Well, three strikes and you're out. You ought to thank God he doesn't live by that theology. And let me help you out with something else, too, about three strikes and you're out, the kind of deal. There's so many people, and this is, what, in my opinion, what is heretical. They teach, that, and Paul said it, that there comes a point where there's no longer a sacrifice. Okay? What they're basically, what they're trying to teach you is that the blood of Jesus runs out. What you need to understand is the blood of Jesus covered all sin forever and ever. The sin that's being committed today by people that don't even know God is still covered. They refuse to acknowledge him as Lord. The blood of Jesus does not run out. What happens is when we continue living in a lifestyle of sin, we become hardened to that sin. And we say, you know what? My salvation was a joke. It was just a phase I went through. And we block God out of our lives. Now you've totally backslidden. Yes, there is such a thing as backsliding. Even in grace. You can walk away. It's why the Apostle Paul said, I buffet my body daily. So as when I get there, I don't lose the crown. I don't get and find out I was DQ'd because I was overweight or I was out of shape. That I fought a good fight. So, even the Apostle Paul says that God is the God of love. That means all these other gods, you know, we try to think of Venus, Eros, and all those other mythical gods that they try to create, that they're the God of love. Listen, love is not sex. And sex is not love. So why do we call it making love? I don't know, because you don't have to be in love to do it. Should be, but they don't. Pretty much the kingdom of God is ruled by do unto others as you would have done unto you. Now, let's look at some of the isms. Let's start with socialism, shall we? Since we're learning a real first-hand view of this. Socialism. I know most of you remember. A lot of you are young enough. You still remember what you learned in school. Is a theory of social organization that advocates the means of production, distribution, and exchange should be owned or regulated by the community as a whole. That means everybody owns everything that produces. You don't own land. The farmer doesn't own the tractors. Nobody owns the plant. It's everybody. Now, as I stated last week about being self-employed, not everybody's cut out for it. And there's some people, they have realized that I would just as soon go work. And that's what God understood and knows. Some of us would just rather go. Some of us would like to be the owner and take on those responsibilities. That's just the way it goes. But in socialism, you don't get the chance. You are told what to do, to look out. Here's a good example. FDR instilled Social Security for us, did he not? Why do you think he called it social? We all give it a little bit of money so that we can have a retirement. That was its intended plan. Today, there are actually more people on it who have never paid into it. And now it's being called an entitlement. No, I've been paying on that since 1989. I'm pretty sure that it's not entitlement. I paid. I bought it. You have bought it. But, so what we've got is, and the reason they did it is because so many people were getting older and they didn't have money put aside. Because it's hard to do that when you're raising kids and things keep going up or this happens. He said, we'll mandate that this happens. Kind of a good idea. I think it is. But here's the problem. You have to be told to do what's right or something that's good. Now, the Amish community, they take care of their elders. So many communities have actually done that. They take care of their elders. They take care of people when they get older. They don't just ship them off to the nursing home. I told Angela, I said, listen, if I get to where I have to go there, just take me behind the barn. You can figure out the rest. Put me up on top of the roof of the barn and tell me I'm an eagle. I don't care. The 40-foot drop should do the job. But it boils down to the government now telling you to do something that God said, honor your father and mother. In Marxist theory, it is but a step towards full-blown communism. Okay? So that brings us to communism. Communism is a theory advocating elimination of private property, a system in which goods are owned in common and are available to all as needed. Let me stop right there real quick. It is a fallacy. Don't even begin to think communism is such a good idea. It is a fallacy, and I'm going to tell you why. All these things I'm going to talk to you about, capitalism, fascism, none of them are governed by love. They're all governed by greed. On the surface, communism looks good, right? Hey, we all eat as we need it. We get it. But here's the problem. A corrupt person, corrupt people who do not love, who do not walk and operate in love, are divvying out the goods. So if you told Brother Bucketmouth over there in service Sunday morning that he had bad breath, when you go to get your bread Monday morning, suddenly they ran out when you got there. That's what they do. That's why there are food lines in Russia. That's why things are scarce in these countries. Because the government controls the food. They control the people. They know if they're too hungry and too weak to rise up, then they will not pursue freedom. Which is, and honestly, an amazing thing that this country ever came about. Because as I read about the Revolutionary War and General Washington, they were underfed. Half the guys were walking around naked in the middle of the winter. No boots, no guns. But you know what they did? They had something inside them that burned even deeper. And it was a love. It was a love for freedom. It was a love for their families. They were tired of King George telling them what to do and being a bully. Many of them paid the price harshly. But because they did, we live in a great country. A once great country. And I think we can be great again. A totalitarian... system of government in which a single authoritarian party controls state-owned means of production. Again, it all depends on who's calling the shots. In the case of Russia, hold your horses, it was the Greek Orthodox Church. It was the only, or not Greek, Russian, it was the only church not shut down. The only one. And what you need to understand is they are so corrupt. They were the only ones not shut down. It's the belief. Everybody says, well, religion ruins things. Listen, everybody has religion. I don't care if you don't believe there's a God, you have your religion. It is your system of beliefs. And your system of beliefs has now dictated that we don't agree with you. Therefore, you shut us down because you got somebody's thinking. And here's what they do. Here's how they gain control and leadership, people. Let's say a bishop becomes good friends with the dictator and says, well, you know what? Hey, who cares how many women you got on site? Who cares that you beat your wife? You ignore your children? Who cares about all that? God will forgive you. Well, he was technically forgiven, but problem is you don't keep walking and around in the pig slop. When God takes you out of it, you don't keep going back. And so what happens is, oh, well, you know what, bishop? You're my friend now. So suddenly, you've got the leader's ear. Boom. That's what we're going to see when the rise of the Antichrist and the false prophet. The false prophet is going to tell the Antichrist what he wants to hear, and he's going to give power to the Antichrist. Every government, I don't care. Again, don't care what people think, what people say. Religion is alive and well in atheism. In every other kind of belief, we each have a belief. I choose to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God created the heavens and the earth and that Jesus died for my sins and God raised him up on the third day and he is seated at the right hand of God now. That's what I choose to believe. Okay? Because the way people act on this earth, I could say it's real easy to say there is no God based on that. Science is God. No, God is science. He's just waiting for us to figure out some other things and say, it's about time you got there. All right, so capitalism. Capitalism is an economic system characterized by private or corporate ownership or of capital goods by investments that are determined by private decision and by prices. Production and distribution of goods that are determined mainly by competition in a free market. If you look at Israel, they actually operated more in capitalism, even in the days of the prophets and the kings. Price and demand. They owned their land. They owned their homes. When I went to Ukraine a few years ago, I was totally amazed at how ugly buildings were. Unless you got into Kiev, there were a few beautiful buildings, and those were the ones, like I said, that the one building, I think it was like 3 miles long, It had rocks cut on it, 6 foot tall, and I think they were about 3 foot deep. But the buildings that the communists built, they poured concrete. They just built towers. That's all they did, about 4 or 5 story towers with a little balcony. Never painted them. And that's how people lived. Everybody had the same exact house, the same exact number of rooms. Everything was identical. And I thought when I was driving down through there and looking at people that still live in some of them, they've taken a little personalization to them now that they've been freed. Whatever color of paint they got, they painted the outside of their building. So here's the problem is now you got this huge building with pink, light blue, yellow, maybe green spots all over it because they just started painting their balcony areas. They wanted life. They wanted color. They wanted the things that were deprived from them under communism. Okay? And again, these systems do not operate in love. It's based in greed. Even capitalism, I hate to say it, it's based on the price. Well, I can get a price. If you think I'm crazy, wait till Wednesday. Gas will be low, and then Wednesday night, gas will go back up. Why? Because the weekend's coming, and they can get more out of you. It has done it for the last, I don't know how many years. It just goes up magically. I paid $2.07 the other day in Mansfield, came over here to Marion, it was $2.39. Why? Because they can squeeze it out of them. It's based on greed, not love. And by the way, don't tell me that they're only making a penny a gallon on the gas. I was born in the morning, but it wasn't this morning. And I don't have a problem with them making money. That's how businesses run. You've got to understand, you've got to make money, and there's got to be money over here when there's a lean time. I don't care what business you're in, there's going to be a lean time. Whether you're in manufacturing, people quit ordering certain things after a while. They take a break. If you're in home construction or repairs, people take a break. It's usually October through December, right when you're really needing the money. Farming is, you're at the whim of the nature. Hopefully you serve God who can redeem it. Now, fascism is a political philosophy or movement or regime that exalts nation and often race above the individual and that stands for a centralized or autocratic government headed by a dictatorial leader, severe economic and social regimentation, and forcible oppression of opposition. In other words, you're not allowed to disagree with the government. Nazis, classic example of this. You're not allowed to disagree with the government. You'll do as you're told, or we'll kill your family. You know what? I praise God for people that dared to go against that. People like Schindler. And we're finding out there's others who did the same thing. He said, you know what? This ain't right. This is not right. I love my fellow man. And I don't care if he is a Jew. I will put my life in jeopardy to save them. Oh, I promise you this much, folks. I'm hoping that Schindler, I don't know much about. I've watched the movie one time. That was enough for me. It was as horrific as I thought it would be. But I believe that God made sure that Schindler knew who Jesus Christ was because Schindler blessed Abraham. And God told Abraham, he who blesses you, I will bless, and he who curses you, I will curse. Fascism goes in and it controls everything. It takes away your life. It takes away your freedoms. You may get to make your own clothes, but it's out of the scraps you found in the garbage. They take and they control art. And you know what? And while I believe art has its place in God. Otherwise, why did God give us these abilities? Why did he give us the ability to dance, to sing, to play instruments, to draw, to paint, if it did not have a purpose? And ultimately, they control that. That's why Hitler was stealing prized artwork. The communists, they go in and they control. If you've got a child who has any inkling, they take that child from you and they force them to play that instrument. Y'all remember back in, those of you old enough to remember the Iron Curtain days, the Russian athletes, the particularly gymnasts, they didn't know, they only saw their parents maybe once a year because they were forced to live with these other people and they trained all the time because national pride was at stake. That's what happens when you cut out free competition. So what we start to see is that all of man's government, even the good ones, monarchies are a combination of a lot of this. And when I started reading more about the definition of fascism, I thought, well, it kind of sounds like monarchies in a lot of places. You don't agree with the king, you get your head chopped off. But I need you to understand something. First off, Islam is indeed a nation and has a government. It operates by Sharia law, and it is a fascist government. And here's, I'm going to tell you this much. People think, especially black Americans and blacks around the world, not all of them are from Africa, so I can't do that. I had black friends in the Marine Corps, and they were not from Africa. They were from Cuba, Cape Verdean Islands, but they weren't from Africa. And they said, do not call me an African American. I'm an American. Anyhow, what they don't understand is the Arabs think they're second-class citizens, the black Muslims. They don't realize that. They think, well, we're Muslims, we're of the brotherhood. No, you're just an ends to a mean, the Arab. Okay, they're fascist. And if you think I'm crazy, just go back and start looking about with Ishmael. And God said, and his hand will be at every man's throat, and every man's hand will be at his throat until the end. That's why we're seeing this rise up like it is now. But even they have got that. If you're white, I don't care if you do convert, you're dead because you're not of their pure race. Hitler did not matter. And here's something else you need to understand about Hitler. They thought they were doing the work of God. They acknowledged God. Very few priests would stand up to him. Most of the church at that time just bent over and said, spank us. We'll do whatever you say. And you want to know what happened, folks? The reason they were able to do that is because love grew cold. Why do you think it's happening here in this country? Greed stepped in. Listen, our economy keeps going astronomical. We're in so much debt in the country. And yet we say, well, we're going to outsource our jobs to Mexico or to China or to here or to there. And the company will save $100 million. Listen, you're an American company, keep your jobs in America. Because the American people are the ones that will keep you up. China doesn't care about you. Japan doesn't care about you. Mexico doesn't care about you. God cares about you. And if we quit operating, even in our in capitalism and free enterprise, and like I said, and it's great if you operated in love. When you take love out of the equation, you take God out of the equation of governmental rule, you have exactly what we're facing. astronomical debt. My great-grandchildren will probably never see the end of this. If the United States is even around by that time. When we began taking God out of the government. Now, I want to say something right here. I do not believe that God meant for the church to ever rule. Never. There's so many, well, if the church would stand up. No, how about the individuals in the church stand up? If God told you to run for an office, run for the stinking office. That's why we don't have the right government. We don't have the right influences. Seriously, way back when, we had some good influences. Does anybody know who sits on top of the Supreme Court building? Anybody get? Yes. The ultimate lawgiver, Moses. And they take the Ten Commandments out of a courthouse in Alabama or Mississippi. And yet Moses is on top of the Supreme Court. The man who wrote those. What are we thinking? What happens is, and I think there should be term limits because people quit loving. They get comfortable. We get comfortable in things and we quit loving people. There should be a next generation come up and says, all right, here's what we're missing. And so we start trying to get this fixed. By that time, boom, we're into another situation. We need somebody else who knows what it's like. And if this country will learn to love, if the church will learn to love, I'm not saying we accept sin. We have to love. God loved us while we were still sinners. He didn't love the sin, he loved the person. And he took us out of that, washed us off in the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, now I'm going to teach you how to love. Learning to love is one of the hardest things on the planet, in my opinion. You know, that moment when you just want to strangle the last breath out of somebody. You know, they've just gotten on your last nerve and you're like, okay, that's it. That's when you should start really kicking into love real quick. Because you just might do that. Most of the mental problems that we have in the world today are due to love issues. Things are messed up with love. They were either not loved as a child, they were abused as a child, or whatever it was. We're being told in this country now, from what I'm hearing, that when our, and you may have read it too, I just read a bit of the report today of a Green Beret who was in Afghanistan. And he's being discharged. He's got to be separated by November 1st. He's been challenging this. And the reason he's being challenged is because he was in a province of Afghanistan, and it was brought to his knowledge, him and his platoon commander, that the police chief had beaten this woman and raped her son. He's a male. Did I stipulate that? They were ordered, supposedly by the army, or commanding general, to look the other direction on this stuff. I thank God for men like this. He didn't look the other way. He grabbed that guy and he planted his face in the dirt. He's being discharged. The commander was kicked out. The army says, we have no idea what this is about. But you know what? In my opinion, love rules. That's gross. You know what's going to happen to that little boy? I thank God, though, that maybe he's learned that somebody stood up for him. And they say, you know what? Islam didn't work. Maybe I ought to try the God of the Christian. But you see, we're not too far away from being told to mind our own business. Listen, I walk by and somebody's raping somebody, I ain't going to wait for the cops. I'm going to hit you so hard, so fast, that'll be the last thing on your mind for the rest of your life. As a matter of fact, I'm going to remove your reason for procreating. Forcibly. Because that is not love. And love does not look the other way. Jesus told a parable of a Samaritan. You got to understand, the Samaritans were indeed of the lineage of Abraham, just not the right one. So they were treated as second-class citizens. And this Samaritan got jumped, beat up almost to death. And it says that Jews walked by him, one of them even a priest. Looked at him, walked to the other side of the road, so he didn't have to deal with it. And then just a commoner walked by and said, well, this isn't right. See what religion did? Legalism. That's why we cannot operate in legalism. Legalism said, oh, you're a Samaritan? I'm not supposed to touch you. I'm not supposed to have anything to do with you. I'm going to tell you a little something. It seemed, you know, I remember years ago that it was, somebody joked about it and it was funny in a hunter safety course. For those of you that don't know, if you've got somebody and they're freezing to death, they are in hyperthermia, what is the quickest way to heat them up? Both of you got to get naked. If you got a dry sleeping bag, you got to get them in there and you got to crawl in naked. Guys, do not be trying that with your wife. It better be your wife. Here, honey, go sit in the ice water for a little while. Yeah, wrong. Doesn't work. But anyhow, and some smart Ellie can go, well, what if he's gay? I heard somebody else say, he's going to die. Why? Are you afraid you're going to violate him? He's incapacitated. Why would somebody else have to die because of your fear? If you love the person, you would get them warm. Nobody said you had to take your skivvies off. You see my point? That is exactly how they treated this Samaritan. They didn't have to roll down in there and get in a sleeping bag with him naked. All they had to do was help him up out of the ditch and get him to somebody to help. But because legalism said, oh, we don't do that. We don't help that type of person. It's totally void of love. And we cannot operate in that kind of garbage anymore. The things we have to do have to be in love. As I began telling you earlier, why do we not speed? Because we don't want a ticket, do we? Let's face it. Let's be honest. We don't want the ticket. Why don't we drink and drive? We don't want the ticket. We don't want to lose our driver's license. How about, you know, I did drink. But I'll tell you right now, one thing I never, ever did, and I walked back many a night. By the time I got back, I was sober. I never, ever drove. Because I remember what it was like as a little boy waiting for Dad to come home the next morning. Only to find his car was on a cliff, on the edge of a hill just down the road because he was drunk and passed out. And if it hadn't been for the fact that one of the neighbors noticed that there were tracks going through that area, they'd have never found him in the car. He was fine. That's why. It's called love. I don't want to do stupid things like that because I want my family to die or me to kill somebody else's family. You can walk. If you're an alcoholic, you got to drink. Walk. Because if I catch you and if I'm on your jury, your butt's going to jail. Very nice weather we're having. Because it's not operating in love. And you took somebody else's life in hand. Why don't we kill people? We don't want to go to jail. We joke about it all the time, don't we? I'm going to kill that person. Boy, if I could just get... We let out frustrations and we let out things we'll never do. But what about those times when people cross that line? What about that time when they cross that line and they do kill? They weren't operating in love. Well, you know what they've been saying about me. Who cares what they're saying about you? People talk and people are stupid. Anybody not figured that out? Okay, I think we've all been on the planet long enough to know that people talk and people are stupid. I had one person tell me, said, I heard about your driving. I was a teenager. I heard about your driving. I said, what the heck are you talking about? I only get to drive my daddy's car. And I don't know what you're talking about, my driving. I said, who's talking about my driving? Never would tell me. And then when I turned my life back around to the Lord, I was going to church with a sergeant. And she'd take me to the church we'd go to off base. And you know what? Guess what happened? Two NCOs, they're out doing the nasty. I said, who's telling you I'm doing this? People are stupid and people will talk. She had gotten saved, was faithful to her husband. I was had rededicated my life, was faithful to my wife. And if it weren't for the fact that a taxi was too stinking expensive, I'd have taken the taxi. But love is God's kingdom. I want to kind of explain to you how things might have gone. And see, people would still do stupid things. Because we're people. We learn, we're curious. We would learn why we don't do things and we wouldn't do them anymore. But not us. We have to try to keep pushing the envelope, see if we can do it, and it finally kills us. I think I've shared with you before about a rock climber. He just kept pushing and pushing the envelope. Wanted this adrenaline rush. And the program I was watching, they actually put cameras up the thing. And they said, now you got to watch this. He's climbing without gear and without ropes. He's just got boots or his shoes and his gloves. That's all he has. He climbed this 90-foot cliff straight up. I mean, it was astronomical. I mean, like under 20 seconds or something. But he was flying. They said, now watch this. In this one particular area, he was totally free of the wall. Totally. And they'd climb up there, and then they had this cable that they'd ride down into the bottom. And he would just get so hopped up on adrenaline, he got up there, and he went flying down through there, and they showed the video. He wouldn't wait for the guy to give him the okay, and the guy didn't have the rope secured. He left behind a three-year-old. The mom had died. Because he didn't love his son enough to say, you know what? I don't need to be doing stupid things that are going to get me killed for my adrenaline rush. I remember when it first hit me about, well, besides the fact my helmet coming off at 100 miles an hour on my motorcycle. If it's strong enough to catch your helmet and flip it backwards on you, it started throwing some sense into me. I don't need to just quit riding the motorcycle. I need to bring myself under control. I know another brother in the Lord went and got a motorcycle. First time he'd ever rode a motorcycle. Friday afternoon, Saturday afternoon, he was doing 120 on it. He'd never ridden a motorcycle before. What's the problem? love is the problem. He loved himself more than he loved his family. I said, you know what? I can't leave my wife and kids. I can't leave her to raise those three boys alone. So I slowed it down. I did it one other time and said, no, still not worth it. And I never did it again. But you see, we don't live by love. When God comes back, see, I heard a great thing, and I'm going to try wrapping up here, the other day about the return of Christ. It was really all Jimmy Evans taught it, was talking about it. He's a great marriage counselor. But he was talking about the return of Christ and some things he really opened my eyes to that I'd never thought about before. But he was talking about when Jesus returns with his bride, the second coming, when he comes to get us, he's not coming down. He stops. And the church, those who are believers, true believers, go. He said, but when he comes back the second time to rule and reign for 1,000 years, you need to understand something. He rules and he reigns by love. He is God, and God is love. It's his character. It's his very nature. And he will rule by love. People will still be given the opportunity to make decisions. They will still have the opportunity to say yes or no. Because what good is love if it's not reciprocated voluntarily? You know, we don't have to love each other because we're husband and wife. I've seen lots of people have been married, they don't love each other. We choose to love each other. Because what we do is we look at it and say, well, you know, you talk to me like this this one day, I don't love you anymore. You will never talk to me like that again. Listen, both of you got issues. And here's my deal. It takes two to tango. I don't listen to just one side of a story. I knew a man who did. He's a fool. You listen to both sides of the story. And then when it's time, you bring both sides of the story together and say, now let's get the right story together. Because we each have a different viewpoint, don't we? All of you, you get to see the greatness before you. It's a joke. You can laugh. I get to see all of you. We have two different views of points of view, but we're in the same building today. The same air, the same light, the same fans. Everything's the same except our viewpoint. And even some of you, your viewpoint differs than the person next to you or behind you. Joe, he's got two people sitting in front of him. He sees two heads. He can actually see a lot more, but directly he's got two. Faye doesn't have anybody in front of her. Sitting side by side, two different views right there. You got to get the story together. When we learn to love governments, doesn't matter what they say, what they do. But I'm telling you, as the church, as the body of Christ, we cannot fail this mission. We have got to love. We've got to love like Jesus. That was the only commandment he gave us. He said, this last commandment I will leave with you. Love each other as I have loved you. Do you understand the how great that was that he said that? He said, I'm willing to die for you. Now, I think you need to understand, I love all of you the same. Now, there's my family. There's a little different degree. I'll do things with my family I won't do with you, and some of you should be grateful. But we have a good time. At least I do. But I would die for any of you. As a matter of fact, took an oath and said I would do that. And the last time I checked, Kyle, did your oath have a expiration date? No expiration date on it, was there? That's the kind of love he's coming back for. I don't care if we have the greatest social programs. The church was never supposed to be built on social programs. The people are supposed to go out and be the social programs. We're supposed to be a house of love. We come, we stir. You know what the Bible says? We stir up love when we come together. We stir that up. You know, I've had so many people, you know, and one common thing here in this body is most everybody has been through a situation in a church where they were hurt. The vast majority in here, starting right here. And I can tell you, when I come together with my brothers and sisters in the Lord, I love seeing you. I may not get to hug all of you, talk forever with all of you. I love seeing you because it stirs something up inside of me. It says, all right, I can keep going. Because trust me, this is not a profession I would have chose. I prefer to be the guy in the background instead of the guy in the front. But God says, you're up front, so here I am. But I'm telling you, that should be the love you have towards your brothers and sisters in the Lord. It just is. And by the way, it doesn't just stop with this church. This is just an assembly. You're gathered here because this is where God brought you to learn. I've got brothers and sisters all over this county today worshiping the same God. And we don't have to agree on everything. It's just all there is. My wife and I don't agree. Obviously, we don't agree on where the hand towel goes. But I'm not going to disown her because she keeps putting it on that handle. She painted the cabinet, she can repaint it. If you'll let God rule your life by love, I promise you, there it is, I promise you your life will be a lot easier, and you have to do a lot less repenting. I always hate that, and I'm going down there, God says, you got to go back and repent to that person. God, that guy's a twit. Really? I got to go back and repent to him? He said, well, the argument was one thing. The threat you gave him was another. Okay, Lord. I've learned to quit threatening people. Unless they're going to harm somebody. Then it's a promise. That's the way I look at it. It's not a threat. It's a promise. You go to hurt my family. You go to hurt my friends. Somewhere I'm going to find a can of spinach. And I'm going to open it up. And I'm going to call for Kyle. All right, let's stand. Okay, a couple things real quick. First off, is that my announcement list? Okay. Miss Cheryl's going to clean the carpets this week, so we have a request that if you can, some of you will obviously have to get out of the way. But if we can stack all the chairs to the sides, okay? Just kind of go down the middle here and we start stacking chairs to the side, starting with the outsides, get them stacked, and then just bring the next one up. And then that way it's easier for them to get in here and clean all the carpets. Everything will smell fresh and clean again. And also, there are over in the other, in the conference room, give them a few minutes before you go over there, but there are some boxes of Pepperidge Farm cookies. In little bags, and crackers, in little bags, various whatever. They are a little past their expiration date, but I can promise you from the bags, that I've eaten at home, that might be why my pants were a little tight today, they are very good. So, but anyhow, they are over there. They are free. Somebody blessed us with them. We probably took more than what we need, but we brought a bunch here too, and we want to share them with you guys. So they are over there. They're free. Don't make me take them home. I would hate to have to do that. Hallelujah. All right. Well, let's pray and I'll dismiss you. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, that you are a God of love. And Father, you are a God of who operates by wisdom. And you know when to bail us out. You know when we'll finally get it and stand up. And when you'll know we'll trust you the next time. Father, help us all to learn to trust you, to learn to love each other as we say we love you. Father, I pray that today's word becomes a true revelation of not meant to instill fear into people about our government or governments around this world, but Father, about the King of Kings who is coming to rule and that we serve the God of the universe. So Lord, I thank you now for these people. I bless them, Father. I know you're in their every thought. You look out for them, Father. There's not been a one of us that we haven't lost a hair that you didn't know about. So, Father, I thank you for that, that you're always looking for us. I bless them, Lord. I pray that as they go about their week, Father, that your hand will be upon them. You'll lead them, you'll guide them, and you'll bring peace to turmoil in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.